featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. It's nearly impossible. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups, or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career.
I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studios at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. And, of course, on the South Point Studios Broadcasting Streaming Network at YouTube. And we welcome you to the show today, as well as all of the people who listen to us on our local radio station here in town. Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM. And, of course, all of our websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global. We got them all. And, of course, your apps for your iPhone, Android, and Googles. Your Google phone, I should say. Googles. Anyhow, you can get your apps, the KSHP app. You can listen through the radio station and the YouTube app. Of course, you can see and hear us on those apps on your devices and anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We welcome you to the show. And now it's a little bit more calm after the big, big, huge party they had here at the South Point for the Super Bowl. The blowout Super Bowl, I might add. But I'll tell you what, more people, it was the highest rated Super Bowl in the history of the Super Bowl broadcasting. 126 million people watched the catastrophe or the blowout of the Philadelphia Eagles beating up on the Kansas City Chiefs. All you can say is it was an absolute wipeout, that's for sure. But the Philadelphia fans were celebrating high and low all around, and certainly the Chiefs fans were sitting there just wondering what the heck happened. But Super Bowl was a big success here at the South Point. The ballrooms, everything, the entire property was full. It was just, it was great, it really was. And a lot of them participated in the race book, playing the horses before the Super Bowl started. So that was good news there. We want to welcome you to the show. As of course, on today's show, we'll have Jonathan Ardoon with us, Rich Ang. And on our Wednesday shows now, we have Dwayne Colucci. Dwayne Colucci from the Rampart. He's going to check in with the Rampart Report. And of course, John Lindo and Jerry J as well. And as far as the news in racing is concerned, again, the weather is going to be a big factor this week. Now, if you're sitting down, folks, I'm just going to tell you one thing. Taking a look at the weather outside, it's clear, it's beautiful, it's 36 degrees, it's cold. We got cold again. So it's 36 degrees out. It's only going to be 55 today. So we're in that range right now for the next week here in Las Vegas as the entire country goes under another deep Arctic deep freeze. But here's the kicker. My phone app told me that tomorrow in Las Vegas, Nevada, on Thursday, it says, we're going to have snow. And they said as much as 3 inches. Now, I can tell you this. I know the rain is coming. You know, it says we've got almost 100% chance of rain coming through here in Las Vegas tomorrow. But unless it gets below 32 degrees, we're not going to get the snow. So we will wait and see what happens there. The app could be a little bit wrong. You know, it's not always right. But in any case, that's here in Las Vegas. Right now around the country, though, as I say, it's beautiful here. Southern California, right at the southern tip of California, down in the San Diego area, etc. There's a little bit of rain going on. A lot of snow in the Midwest, Iowa, Missouri. You've got, you know, Oklahoma and Nebraska. And it's just, it's a lot of snow going on there. And the rain is just pouring its way through the South, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, etc., going right out to the Mideastern seaboard. As far as Florida is concerned, where they have, of course, the major racetracks today, Tampa Bay and Gulfstream Park looks clear and ready to go. And I understand that New York might be getting some bad weather here soon as well. No racing, of course, today at Aqueduct. So that looks like about the weather as far as around the country for today's racing. Taking a look at the temperatures, I mean, Miami, 80 degrees. Are you kidding me? 80 degrees in Miami right now, or it's going to be 80 degrees today. If you think that's hot, Tampa Bay is supposed to get up to 85 today. So you know the racing conditions are going to be great there at both Tampa and Gulfstream Park today. New York. 37 degrees are going to top out there. Like I said, the deep freeze is going through the Northeast. You got Detroit at 29, Chicago at 29, and even Oklahoma City is only getting up to 31. Los Angeles will be 53, and Phoenix, Arizona, 64. And here in Vegas, again, we're going to top out at 55 degrees today. But the weather will be a factor with only not only the precipitation between snow and sleet and rain, etc., and, of course, the freezing weather as well. As a matter of fact, on today's racing menu, we have one cancellation already. Charlestown will not be racing today. They have canceled their races due to bad weather, okay? Charlestown, not on the menu today. They have canceled already because of the bad weather. And that may not be the only cancellation of racetracks as we move through the week. This is, of course, time after the Super Bowl. Now we march on to our Super Bowl, which is, of course, the Kentucky Derby. And we're marching through to the Kentucky Derby. We're getting to the midway point of February and, you know, March and April. And bing, there it is. First Saturday in May will be the Kentucky Derby. This week, there are two races that will have Kentucky Derby points to them. And there are two races that will have Kentucky Oaks points to them. They are the Risen Star at the Fairgrounds. Six stakes races overall on Saturday at the Fairgrounds, two grade twos and two grade threes and two others as well, six overall. But the Risen Star, part of the Louisiana Derby series, will have 50 Kentucky Derby points. Now they're raising from 20 to 50, so this is the first one that has 50 Kentucky Derby points to it. It's the Risen Star on Saturday. And we understand there's 13 horses entered in that race. On the same card, the Rachel Alexandra, part of the Fairgrounds Oaks series for the Kentucky Oaks, that has 50 Kentucky Oaks points as well. So that gets bumped up. So the two races at the Fairgrounds this week will have 50 points for both the Kentucky Derby leaderboard and the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard. Those two races there. On Sunday at Sunland Park, they'll have six stakes races overall at Sunland Park on Sunday. Two of them have points as well. The Sunland Park Derby will hold 20 Kentucky Derby leaderboard points, and the Sunland Park Oaks will have also 20 Kentucky Oaks leaderboard points. So those are the races this week that have points that are attached to it, to the winners, etc., for the leaderboard in both the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks. And those are the races there. As far as Saturday is concerned, in addition to all those stakes races at Fairgrounds, you'll have four stakes races at Laurel. Gulfstream Park, Oaklawn, Santa Anita, and Turfway Park will all come in with a stakes race on the day. Gulfstream will have a Grade 3 as well as Santa Anita also having a Grade 3. Those are the races over the weekend. Now taking a quick look at that leaderboard for the Kentucky Derby as we go into this week. At the top, you've got Citizen Bull, of course, trained by Bob Baffert. That was the winner, the Robert Lewis. He's got 60 Kentucky Derby leaderboard points. Speed King for Chad Brown, who won the Southwest, has got 25. Cole Battle, winner of the Smarty Jones, has 20, as well as Burnham Square, who won the Holy Bull, Disco Time, who won the LeCompte, and Captain Cook, who won the Withers, and John Hancock, who won the Sam Davis, and Built. Now, Burnham Square, Holy Bull winner, Disco Time, the LeCompte winner, Captain Cook, the Withers winner, and, of course, John Hancock winning the Sam Davis over the last weekend. Built, who is also with 20 points in the Kentucky Derby leaderboard, finished second in the LeCompte to Disco Time. And, of course, rounding out the top 10, Gaming has 18. Getaway Car has 16. I say that because Getaway Car is sitting at 10 right now, but he is entered. Getaway Car is entered in the Sunland Park Derby on Sunday that will yield 20 points in the leaderboard. So we'll wait and see about that. But that is going into this week, the leaderboard for the Kentucky Derby. Also, the Kentucky Derby Parimutuel Future Book Pool will open on Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time. It'll go through Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And right now, Citizen Bull is the individual morning line favorite when they open up the Parimutuel wagering for the future book. This, I believe, will be pool four in the future book there, based out of Kentucky. And the Citizen Bull is 6-1 favorite in that as the betting begins, as you know. Until the pool is closed, we'll get the final odds on those horses. The pool opens on Friday. And a couple of other notes that I wanted to make sure of, and that was Sahan Savici and Jackie Davis have been handed some suspensions at Aqueduct. Now, Jackie Davis had gotten her fourth whip violation within 180 days. So she's going to get 4 days. She's going to sit on the bench for 4 days and has a $1,000 fine. Jackie Davis, fourth whip violation within 180 days. Who's doing this counting is what I want to know. And anyhow, but Sahan Savici's was a little bit more, I would say, important to the race players. He's getting 3 days and a fine of $2,000 because they say he cost his horses placings in two separate races at Aqueduct. He was beaten by a nose for fourth place finish in both of those races, in not pursuing any longer. Now, you know as well as I do, we have races that players can play the superfecta, and that fourth place means something to the players. And so he was handed the 3-day suspension and a fine for $2,000 for riding out into that fourth place. Now, you get beaten fourth place by a nose twice, and if you got the ticket that has him in the fourth place in the superfecta, you got one mad customer. So remember, and as I keep saying on the show, hopefully I keep impressing upon the racetracks and the officials at the racetracks, If you're going to offer a trifecta that goes to three places, a superfecta that goes to four places, or the super high five that goes to five places, you have to emphasize to the jockeys to ride out all those positions as though they were trying to win the race because they are in a position to win money for the players who are playing those bets. And so I'm glad that they gave Savici that that fine. I'm not sure that Savici understood the parameters of it when he was riding, but he will now because $2,000's coming out of his pocket and he's going to sit on the sidelines for 3 days. So I thought that was a very good move as far as the stewards and the officials were concerned at Aqueduct. Okay? All right, so we got our handicappers getting ready to go. Hardoon, Ang, Colucci, Lindo, and Jerry J. A quick look at what happened Sunday at Aqueduct on Sunday. Manny Franco had three wins on the card. He won the first race at $4.70, came back with his second winner in the fifth race that paid $8.30, and the fourth race winner that paid $4.40. Pick six at Aqueduct on Sunday paid $56,779. Wow. Got to tell you, that last race winner paid $51.50. To give you an idea of what was happening up until the last race at Aqueduct on Sunday, if you were to put all the Wynn Mutuals of the seven races before that eighth and final race, all those Wynn Mutuals combined beat the $51.50 by just 30 cents. So that was a big priced winner in the last race at Aqueduct. 56,000 and change there in the pick six. Gulfstream Park, Ired Ortiz Jr., he had a couple of winners, winning the first race at $15.40 and the sixth race at $14.80 for Todd Pletcher there in a maiden race for three-year-old fillies. Safi Joseph Jr., man, this trainer keeps running hot at Gulfstream. He had three wins at Gulfstream on Sunday. Won the first race with Ortiz, that $15.40, came back in the fourth race with Edgar Zayas paying $7.20. And then won the last race with at $5 even to get his third win of the day there. And that was just about, you know, the going there at Gulfstream Park. Safi Joseph Jr. was the star of the day there. And at Santa Anita on Sunday, you had Flavian Pratt. He won three races. He won the fifth race at $6.20 for Neil Drysdale, came back in the Sweet Life Stakes with Casalou. Casalou won easily for Flavian Pratt. Bob Baffert trained there, paying $3.20, outrunning stations as catch I can, and Tequila and Therapy, who finished third in the race. Jeff Mullins had a win as well with Flavian Pratt's third win of the day in the ninth and final race. All right, now you're all caught up, and we're getting ready to start another racing week here from Las Vegas, Nevada. And when we come back, we'll start with your racing menu and then get to our handicappers, reminding you that if you go to the YouTube network and watch us and listen to us on YouTube, you get to that page, and the chatters are chatting away like crazy, reflecting maybe what happened in the Super Bowl on Sunday and, of course, racing as well. You can join in, too. Just go to YouTube, get to the Race Day Las Vegas page through the South Point Studios icon, and then all you got to do is subscribe if you haven't already. If you have, no problem. If you haven't already, subscription is free, and then you can start chatting away. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
All righty. Back on race day for this Wednesday. Time to get to your racing menu today. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on this racing menu are that of the Pacific time zone, because these will be the first post times that roll into the book right behind us here at the South Point. We are in the Pacific time zone. If you're listening anywhere else in many different time zones around the world, as we reach around the world with all of our platforms, then adjust the first post time from the Pacific time zone to whatever one you're in. This way you won't miss anything, like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? And by the way, just for an FYI, I understand they took down that big pick six jackpot at Turf Paradise over the weekend. They have a small pick six jackpot already carrying over to today. But that big, big, huge one, the multi-$100,000 one, that was hit recently at Turf Paradise. All right, we begin with Parks Racing. Parks Racing's Pick 5 jackpot carryover starts at $160,280. $160,280 in the Pick 5 jackpot at Parks. Parks first post time for nine races set at 9:05. Mahoning Valley Racecourse. They've got a Pick 6 jackpot carryover at Mahoning Valley of $3,985. Their first post time for eight races is set at 9:15. 9:15 at Mahoning Valley. Then we got Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream Park has nine races today. Gulfstream Park's Rainbow Pick 6 carryover stands at $387,315. Okay, $387,315 in the Rainbow Pick 6 jackpot carryover at Gulfstream Park today. Their first post time for nine races set at 9:20. 9:20 at Gulfstream today. And then we go to Tampa Bay Downs. Tampa Bay Downs has a first post time of 9:40. Their Pick 6 jackpot carryover, $42,433. That at Tampa Bay today. Nine races and a first post time of 9:40. Turf Paradise, as I said, the big one went down, but they're all already starting to carry over another Pick 6 jackpot. Pick 6 jackpot carryover today at Turf Paradise, $6,974. $6,974. First post time is at 11:55. The first race will be a quarter horse race. The last eight will be thoroughbreds. The eighth race is their feature, the Walter R. Clure Memorial Stakes. That's at 7.5 furlongs on the turf. Turf Paradise, again, first post time is 11:55 for their racing there. Delta Downs, they have 10 races and mostly full fields there. Delta, too, big, nice full fields there. First post time for their 10 races is at 2:50. 2:50 at Delta Downs. And then we go to Turfway Park. Turfway Park, first post time at Turfway Park today is set at 2:55 for their 10 races, and they have big full fields there at Turfway Park as well. Turfway Park has a carryover in their Pick 6 jackpot of $60,198, and their first post time again is at 2:55 for their 10 races. And as I said, Charlestown has been canceled today because of bad weather. All right, time to go out to Jonathan Ardoon, standing by. Jonathan, morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Yeah, it was hit on Monday at Turf Paradise. They had a $19 horse, a $16 horse, and then the rest of them were kind of short, to be honest with you. You know, once in a while, these things slip through the cracks because that's obviously what happened. Usually when you're an only with that kind of money in the pool, you'll have a couple of $50 horses or something, but that wasn't the case on Monday at Turf Paradise.
Kind of snuck in there on Monday. Well, everybody was hungover from the Super Bowl probably, you know, and or drained out of their money on Super Bowl if they were Kansas City fans, so... A nice hit for whoever did that at Turf Paradise on Monday. But they started, you know, they got a little bit of carryover going on today. So interesting racing down there at Turf Paradise. Hey, what do you say about those penalties, those suspensions at Aqueduct, huh?
Well, the Katie Davis one, you know, that's their ridiculous rules they have. But the Vici one, I think, really came in light, to be honest with you. Not only did he hurt the bettors, Ralph, but he hurt the owners as well. There's a big difference between running third and fourth as far as purse money's concerned, you know. And when you get into big purses, and it could cost the owner a lot of money, like you said, not to mention how much it costs the bettors. You must ride through. You know, if you remember Martin Pedroza, the old days at Hollywood Park, he would never stop riding, not till they were galloped out or whatever. Yeah. You want riders like that, you know, third, fourth, fifth, it makes a big difference. And the riders are only hurting the fans and really hurting the owners as well. So if that guy was riding one of my horses, once, okay, but after that, you're done.
Yeah, and, you know, if the jockeys, give that excuse, well, the horse didn't have any more, and, I was saving him for the next one. I know I could win the race. That's fine, but, you know, you got to impress upon the jockeys, if the track is going to offer that bet, then they have to ride through the positions of the bet. It's really that simple. Otherwise, the track has the obligation of not offering the bet anymore. If they think, well, you know, the safety of the horses are at risk, then don't offer the bet. But if you offer the bet, they have to ride out, and they should.
And I give a little blame to Heiss as well, Ralph, because if they're counting whips and a guy's not going to win the race and doesn't think he could win the race, well, he'll figure he'll wrap up and not get a penalty for giving the horse an extra whip, which will result in days like happened to Katie Davis. So, you know, it's just bad. The whole situation is horrible, and Heiss has really got to find something better to do.
I think, again, like I said, I think that the penalties for whipping excessively should be based on the fact that have the horse examined after the race. If the horse shows any
welts
or anything of the sort, then you fine them. But if not, then you shouldn't, because the whips made nowadays are just like a rolled up piece of paper.
Powder puffs. They're like Nerf balls or Nerf toys or whatever it was. That's what they are. They make a popping noise.
Yeah. All they're meant to do anymore is not punish or cause pain to the horse, but like startle them and get their attention with the pop. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, look, we've got two races this weekend with 50 points, one for the Oaks and one for the Kentucky Derby. The Risen Star at the Fairgrounds is going to be one of six races on a big day of racing there at Fairgrounds on Saturday. They got an overflow field of 13 horses in that race. And Built is going to be in the race. That's a horse that has some fanfare to him for Wayne Catalano. Luis Saez is going to ride that horse. And outside of that one, really, the only other horse and everybody kind of, well, the two horses that everybody else is kind of waiting for, East Avenue, who was, of course, the favorite in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, was eliminated at the start with a bad start there. He won the race prior to that at Keeneland. East Avenue makes his three-year-old debut for Brendan Walsh and Tyler Gaffleone in this race. And, of course, Jonathan Sway, Jose Ortiz for Philip Bauer in that race. So between those three horses, it should be a very interesting Risen Star.
Yeah, they have 14 races on Saturday at Fairgrounds, and the big one is the 14th and final race. So you have a long day if you plan on playing Fairgrounds. The Risen Star is the 14th race. It goes off 7:30 at night, so that's a long day at the racetrack, if you ask me.
They do have lights at the Fairgrounds, folks. Don't worry about it. In any case, on Sunday at Sunland Park, they're going to hold the Sunland Park Derby, a $400,000 race that has 20 points to the Kentucky Derby future book. And believe it or not, Bob Baffert is sending a horse out there. Bob Baffert will have the 9-5 favorite in the race. They drew for the race, and they got 9 going in it. But Baffert's getaway car is going there. Juan Hernandez will be part of that package at Sunland on Sunday. And, of course, like I said, he'll be the 9-5 favorite, obviously, because of the presence of Baffert and Hernandez. And in the race, even Mackenzie Street will be in that race as well. He's 4-1. And Touchy, a horse trained by Wesley Ward, ridden by Joel Rosario, who's going to Sunland on Sunday, is sitting there at 7-2. So that looks like a competitive race, the Sunland Park Derby.
It does, and it's going to be interesting to see how Baffert gets the points for these horses. He doesn't want them, you know, he's got a handful of horses that are all going to make it to the Derby. The idea is to be able to maximize getting them the points. So that's probably why he's shipping to Sunland. It's an easy 20 points, so that horse will probably need another 10 or 20 points to be eligible. You know, he's got all these horses. He's got Barnes, he's got them all. So he's going to have really a juggling act to not to run them against each other and be able to get enough points.
Yeah, and, that figures. I mean, he's going to try to keep them as wide apart as he can. And the Sunland Park Oaks, that is also run on that card, and we'll look at the two Oaks point getters tomorrow, but the Sunland Park Oaks put 20 points on it. Baffert also has sent a horse out there for that race as well. So it's going to be an interesting weekend as we march to our Super Bowl, the Kentucky Derby. And look, we're, you know, right now, we're already midway into February, and we know that the Derby's the first Saturday in May.
May 3rd this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jonathan, time to get to work. We need some money, man, after that Super Bowl. What'd you think of the Super Bowl?
It was a little boring, but the halftime show was as bad a show as I've ever seen. And don't get me started. Why teams, cities burn down their city after they're winning is beyond me. What if you lose? You know, Philadelphia went nuts, riots in the streets and all that for winning.
Yeah.
What
I
happens
mean,
when you...
I don't get that at all. That is destruction. Instead of partying and dancing in the streets, they're tearing down, you know, traffic signals.
The traffic lights, and it was horrible. It really was. I mean, you know, I don't get it.
It wasn't respectful to the Philadelphia Eagles and their win in the Super Bowl. That's all I have to say. But in any case, that's my generation.
Mine too, Ralph.
time for us to make some money, buddy.
All right, let's go to the fifth race at Gulfstream today. It's a mile and a 16th on the turf, and I like the number 4 horse in here. Give me Mo Baby, a 6-year-old mare from the Bobby DeBona barn. This horse is rounding back into form today. Dylan Davis aboard to ride, 4-1 on the morning line. I like number 4. Give me Mo Baby to win today's fifth race out at Gulfstream.
All right, Gulfstream Park, fifth race in that race. There are no scratches to this time in that fifth race. You like the 4. Give me Mo, baby. That's what we want, Mo, baby. The 4 in the fifth race at Gulfstream Park. I would imagine you have a play at Tampa Bay.
I do. Sixth race today, 6 furlongs on the main track, and I like the number 6 horse in here, Ran the Red, the 3-year-old filly from the Darren Rodriguez barn. Samuel Morin aboard to ride. She's listed at 7-2 on the morning line. 3 career starts each race, better than the previous one. Graduation day today for number 6, Ran the Red, in today's sixth race out of Tampa Bay Downs.
All right, that's easy to remember. Sixth race, number 6. Number 6, Ran the Red. The 6 horse in the sixth race at Tampa Bay. No scratches in that race, so that's a go as well. Do you like the 6 in the 6th at Tampa Bay? I want to remind everybody out there that he has a full sheet of handicapping for both Gulfstream and Tampa Bay today at your websites. Right, Jonathan?
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
All right, talk you got it, my man. I might need to borrow your snow shovel if the weatherman's right tomorrow.
You better get a new phone app. I just can't believe that's right.
It's got to be. Your phone app's going crazy, too. We'll let you go. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ralphie.
All right, coming up next, Rich Eng, who had quite a few prop plays hit in the Super Bowl. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that is going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show. Every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge, The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
Alrighty, good morning, and back on Race Day Las Vegas. Let's go out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, I will take a thought or two about the Super Bowl from you, but the only thing that the Chiefs won on Super Bowl Sunday was the coin flip.
Yeah, you know, the score got as bad as 40-6 midway through the fourth quarter, and then in garbage time, Patrick Mahomes threw a couple of TD passes, got a couple of two-point conversions. So history will say the score was 40-22, but we all know the game was never that close on the field for 60 minutes.
And I know you hit quite a few proposition bets that you were giving out on the show, and you were right on Philadelphia, that was for sure. I finally got to the point where I sat there and said, listen, I like Philadelphia, but I've been burned so many times betting against Mahomes that I didn't bet the race proper, but I did bet the four prop bets, and I won two of them. So, you know, I had Hurts to win the to score the first touchdown, and when that guy's knee hit the ground and was like a foot from the end zone, I knew that the tush push was coming. So that was that made me a winner early in the game.
Yeah, it was one of my best Super Bowls in a while, Ralph, and that's because about 80% of my betting on the Super Bowl was on the Eagles and the total, the point spread and the total. And I noticed on the chatter, someone put up a chat that I collected on the Eagles minus 17 points on an alternate point spread at 10-1. What it was they saw a Twitter account where I was exchanging tweets with Mitch Moss, and one of his guests suggested a ladder bet on the alternate lines on the Eagles. So I bet the Eagles on Sunday. I bet them at -3.5, -7.5, -10.5, -14.5, and the last bet was -17.5. And as you saw, they won by 18. So all those bets came in. That was real gravy on Sunday.
Yeah, no question about that. But now we got to get started on the next big event. That'll be March Madness. I would imagine that you're starting to handicap some college basketball now.
Yeah, I have a handful of tickets in my pocket already for teams to win the championship, but I'll start releasing them during the week on maybe on a team by team basis. But I've got a bunch of teams in my pocket.
All right. Well, let us get a winner today in our pocket from you on the races.
Yeah, let's go to Turfway Park tonight. Race number 9. It's late at night for East Coast and West Coast, actually. Yeah. Look at the purse, Ralph. The allowance purse, $86,000. Right. When you were at Turfway, the stakes race was worth like $50,000.
Right.
Now it's $86,000 for an optional claimer. Number 7, Nice as Pie. Adam Biskitza riding for Kelsey Danner. This horse is 9-5, a surest type winner, coming out of a couple of the stakes races for this OC. I think gets the job done running them down late. Number 7, Nice as Pie.
All right. Nice as Pie, the 7 horse in the 9th race, is Richie's pick at Turfway Park for the race day listeners. The 9 race, number 7, 7 in the 9th. Thanks a lot, Richie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, y'all. Good luck, everybody.
All right, now let's go out to Mr. Dwayne Colucci, who is giving us the Rampart Report this morning. Dwayne, good morning.
How are you, Ralph? Good to see you today.
Well, all I can tell you is how'd you guys do out there at the Rampart with that crazy Super Bowl on Sunday?
We didn't do too bad, I'll be honest with you. We didn't have that crazy 15% hold that I'm seeing people publicize out there. But we had an unbelievable crowd, Ralph. Our handle actually exceeded last year's, which is a huge accomplishment with everybody knowing the Super Bowl was in Las Vegas last year. Mm-hmm. So I was very pleased. Everybody in the ballrooms were having a good time. Mm-hmm. We had an incredible spread. Tons of proposition bets, and, you know, the game lacked excitement, but the turnout was good.
Yeah, you know, you're right. There were a lot of people on property, but it seemed like it was the air came out of the balloon when the Philadelphia was manhandling Kansas City, because all the Kansas City Chiefs fans were doing was eating a little bit more and drinking a little bit more, but they weren't yelling that much, that's for sure. But in any case, we move on, and now our Super Bowl coming up, the Kentucky Derby. You've got a couple of Kentucky Derby point getters this weekend. How do you see the Risen Star?
Well, the Rizzo Star is very tough, I'll be honest with you. You know, you got the return of East Avenue. You have several intriguing horses. You know, East Avenue, he had that bad stumble in the Breeders' Cup, and a lot of people were banking on this horse being one of the Kentucky Derby favorites. And he definitely has a great chance in this race from my perspective. I mean, you have a lot of different horses, though. Like you said, you have Built that has intrigue. You have Jonathan's Way, Philip Bauer, and Jose Ortiz that are, you know, they have, you know, some Derby preps under their belt, but are they the real deal? That's the whole question moving forward in this race. You know, I look at it top to bottom. It's a very tough handicapped race. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Eastern Avenue get back. But, you know, you have a few other horses. Vasimo is in there with Pletcher and, you know, Irad. They're always dangerous. American Promise, Dwayne Lucas. So this is a stretched out field and a real big field. And it starts pretty late at night, you know, if you're on the East Coast, you're talking about a 7:30 start. So this is a big point getter. We're going to see how the track is. I want to see how the track conditions are as well. Fairgrounds has a tendency to get a lot of moisture, you know, towards the weekend. It's been raining during the course of the meet. Mm-hmm. But this is a big, big race. And I think Eastern Avenue is definitely going to bring his A game. But it's just, you know, sometimes circumstances, Ralph, if you don't start the race right, like you didn't in the last race, it could become very difficult.
Yeah, let's hope he breaks well and gets a decent chance to show what he can do, that's for sure. The Rachel Alexander also has 50 points for the Kentucky Oaks on the same day. You have a thought about that race?
Yeah, that's a very tough race, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm looking at it from all angles, and, you know, this is a big point getter, and that's what's so important when you deal with these races, Ralph. You know, getting into the Oaks is so important, and I like Simply Joking in this race. I love that last race, I'll be honest with you. I think it was tremendous. You know, Whitworth Beckham has jumped on the scene. This kid is a hot young trainer, and he's worked for several accomplished trainers in his prior, you know, as an assistant before he became on his own. And I love the way Torres handles a horse. That last race was explosive. I really, really like this horse. I think I'm seeing 4-1, Ralph, but I doubt you'll get that come race time unless, you know, Guccia just takes this massive amount of money. Also, you do have the Chad Brown and Flavion Pratt runner that could take a lot of money in Ballerina d'Oro. So, you know, Guccia, Ballerina d'Oro have to take a lot of money for us to get that price. Simply Joking has that massive last win, though, Ralph. I really like her in this spot.
All right, Dwayne. And, of course, we know that you'll be watching those races on Sunday at Sunland Park with the Sunland Derby and Sunland Oaks, with Bob Baffert having influence as far as the odds board is concerned in both of those races. But, you know, I would be remiss and probably tarred and feathered from the listeners out there and viewers out there if I didn't ask if you had a horse today.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Last week we popped, and we're going to pop again today, Ralph. I got it right here in my racing form. Once again, Turfway Park, race 9, David Jacobson, Marmalade Sky. Same connections as last time that we gave out last week. This horse is coming off a win, though, at Turfway, and a real nice one. So, you know, he's stepping up just a little bit, but handle the poly track. It's so important. Look at the career record at the track, over the poly track or synthetic. 4 starts, 2 wins, 2 seconds. This horse just loves a synthetic race course, and it showed the last time at Turfway. David Jacobson, race 9 at Turfway. 10-1 we're looking at here, Ralph, morning line. Marmalade Sky, the number 6 horse. I believe the last one that we gave out was the number 6 as well. Yeah. So let's keep the trend going. We're definitely going well here. So let's keep that going at Turfway Park.
Well, I can tell you this. You and Richie both came up with a Sirocco play for me. He came in the same race with the 7 horse. So with your number 6, Marmalade Sky, and his number 7, Nice as Pie, I'm going to do an exact box 6-7-7-6. But the definite win bet, as far as the odds are concerned, will be on number 6, Marmalade Sky, to give Colucci continue his run here on the Race Day Show on Wednesdays. Anything up at your place this week?
Yeah, Ralph, we're just going to have exciting horse racing. You know, we have a little lull in the NHL. They're taking their little break, but, you know, an excellent tournament to look forward to, the Nations 4 there for that cup. Very exciting. We have NBA also coming towards the All-Star break. So horse racing becomes prominent in my property. You know that, Ralph. Mm-hmm. We're the kings of horse. at the Rampart. We're going to have the video wall fired up with all these big Kentucky Derby preps. I'm getting so excited. We're getting really close to, you know, the first Saturday in May, and it's going to be really exciting. So come on out and join us. We have the best comping system in town, and we're going to have those races fired up on the big screen. So enjoy yourself at the Rampart. It's going to be a big horse racing and college baskets week.
Yeah, and I know that we're getting ready for March Madness and, of course, the Kentucky Derby. A lot left after the Super Bowl, that's for sure. And if you're up in that part of the country, the Rampart up there by Summerlin, stop in the Rampart for sure, because it's the only place to play up there. That is absolutely for sure. Hey, thanks a lot, Dwayne. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely, Ralph. Thank you for having me on. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you. A pleasure for us, too, that's for sure. All right, now we're going to go right to John Lindo, standing by in Southern California. John, we're expecting possibly, if the weather app is right, they think it's going to snow here tomorrow, but I know we're going to get rain for sure, and I know the rain that comes, the jet stream comes from the west to the east, so what's going on there in Southern California?
Well, I'm here in Carlsbad, north of Del Mar. It's raining down here today. It is supposed to taper off this afternoon and rain again this evening. But the big storm comes in tomorrow afternoon, Ralph, through L.A. and San Diego. And Thursday night, it's supposed to start raining. It's supposed to rain pretty good and into Friday. So we'll see what happens as far as the Friday card at Santa Anita. You're going to see entries were taken. There were no turf races scheduled, so they're anticipating this. But, you know, the track was sealed last night. No training on the main track today. That usually means no training tomorrow if they're able to open it tomorrow. So we're in a holding pattern right now, and I'm thinking it's pretty dicey whether we can get this card in Friday or not. We raced through Monday, so we've already drawn all the way through Monday. There are turf races scheduled Saturday, so we're just going to depend on Mother Nature here as to what happens. But this is supposed to be a pretty good storm.
All right, so and I know that sometimes they get storms stacked up one behind the other. So if you got that one with the jet stream moving through at the time frame that you said, then Friday might be in jeopardy. But by Saturday, and like you said, they carded turf races for Saturday, the assumption is that they probably will run on Saturday because of the prediction of the storm going through and passing through and getting out of there. So it should be a fine for Sunday and Monday, President's Day holiday card, right?
Yeah, no rain scheduled Sunday, Monday. I very little chance on Saturday. You know, if it does rain as much as they say it might, there's a chance we could lose those turf races to the main track on Saturday. But we're just getting started with what's going on now, so we'll see how this plays out.
Now, of course, Flavian Pratt's been flying all over the country, but I would imagine he's still based out of Southern California for this meet.
He is, but he'll be at the fairgrounds on Saturday riding in the Risen Star. You know, he's got so much business around the country. And there are so many big races coming up as three-year-old preps. He's going to be running around the country on Saturdays. So he'll be in New Orleans on Saturday, but he is scheduled to be here the rest of the weekend.
All right. And, John, what's the Lindo Report look like this week?
Well, I've got Gulfstream for tomorrow. I'm monitoring what's happening for Friday. If we don't have a Santa Anita card, we will do Gulfstream Friday. In addition to Santa Anita and the Coast to Coast on Saturday, I'll put together something on that late pick five at the fairgrounds with all those stakes races, and then we'll concentrate on California Sunday and Monday.
Should I ask your thoughts about the Super Bowl?
I was shocked at how much, not that the Kansas City lost, but how Philadelphia dominated.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't have to blitz once. They had pressure on Mahomes all game long. They were absolutely dominant and good for that. I mean, they were the best team and they won. And, you know, what are you going to do? That's why I stick to horses.
Well, and we're happy you do so. That's for sure. Thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right. One final quick break and then we come back. Jerry Jackowitz got a betting thought or two about us. Don't go away.
Get ready to laugh with Punchlines with Frank Nicotero. Join Frank and his team of featured guests for your daily dose of comedy.
Burrito, the Pittsburgh of the West.
Poison. Yeah. Poison.
Sports. F for Falcons, Alex. We were talking Derek Carr for MVP after two games.
Who's we?
Okay, me. Yeah. I was.
And the funniest social media posts.
People want to show off their food. Boom. Wiener on a guy's shoulder.
It's the Dark Colts. We bleed blue.
It's your one-stop spot for great laughs and a good time.
But a bump.
Find us on YouTube at Punchlines FN. And join the chat live weekdays at noon Pacific for the ultimate blend of jokes, sports, and viral fun.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back to put the finishing touches on this Wednesday show. Want to remind everybody out there, now that the football season is over, Sports by the Book has new hours here from the South Point Studios on Monday to Friday, and that includes today, obviously. They'll start at 10 a.m., 10 a.m., Sports by the Book at 10 a.m., Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., the new start times for Sports by the Book. You got to watch it because now we're heading into college basketball, a lot happening there, and these guys got a big handle on that. Now let's go out to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, should I ask you your thoughts about the Super Bowl?
Sure. All right. So, and let me relate it to horse racing a little bit.
Sure.
The way I understood the game was that it was pretty close to pick 'em. The line was very close to an even money line. It was maybe Philly was a slight favorite. Is that correct, Ralph?
No, Kansas City wound up the 1-point favorite at the end.
Oh, okay. So Kansas City ended up the favorite. You see, I don't bet football, but
right.
But I knew they were pretty closely matched, almost like even money. But anybody who saw the game knows that Philadelphia is a far better team. It's just clearly a better team. You had five offensive linemen and a back chipping, so six guys trying to keep four guys off of Mahomes, and they didn't even come close to doing it.
Right.
So the difference between the two teams is really night and day. And yet the smartest people in the world thought the game was extremely close, or as you point out, actually favored Kansas City.
Right.
And it just goes to show you that what you think is going to happen, what appears to be going to be happening, the way it looks to you is not the reality. The reality is something else that we come across. And so betting the short price in horse racing in particular, which has much more randomness than football, mm-hmm. Is just plain stupid. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work in any way. It doesn't work playing it in an underlay into the beginning of a double, the underlay into the beginning of a pick three, the underlay into a four. The only place you could really consider playing an underlay into, say, a pick six, that has some chance if all the other races are like so totally random. You need an awful lot of randomness to come your way to offset taking a position with an underlay. It's just that simple. And the math of the game is right out there. You lose 20% right away, and then you lose another 10% when you bet the favorite. So you're 30% behind before the horse takes the first step out of the gate.
I'm glad you mentioned that scenario because I was going to ask you, and I guess you already made the comment and answered it, when is it acceptable to bet an underlay like that? And you, appropriately said when you have a race over race bet that you can concentrate on that and spread in the other ways so that favorite becomes a horse that pays well with the other horses around him.
Well, it really has to be at least a pick five at the very least, and probably a pick six is right. And you better be as good a handicapper as I am or Richie Schwartz to make that play. It's just a hard play to make. And I'll give you a good example, though. I had this argument with Richie Schwartz back 35 years ago. He's the best horse player I ever met, and I think the best horse player I've ever heard of.
Right.
And I got to know him personally. We played together for years.
Right. What's the story? Because we've only got 20 seconds left.
What's the argument? There was one day at Saratoga where he took an even money play in the fourth race and singled it in the pick six to about a $30,000 leverage.
Uh-huh.
And he put up about $30,000 all on the favorite. And he says, well, you know, $30,000 on this horse is actually a pretty reasonable bet for me because I can probably make money at even money on this horse.
Right.
And You know, when you're thinking like that, with that kind of leverage, it's one way. When you're thinking about horse racing with a $5, $10, $100 bet, you should stay away from chalk.
Thank you very much. That is a very good thought, and we would go further, but we're out of time. And you got one more thing to say, so you better say it, Jerry.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato and Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.com.